The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you got it!
It's time for episode 693 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top five songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached checkpoint cinco on your way to Summer 2024. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, a.k.a. Chart Linklater, Howard Kramer. And with me, as always, is Starred, a.k.a. Brett Peter Morris. Brett's per minute. What's up, BPM?
What's up? Happy Cinco, I guess. I think you said you're celebrating Cinco de Mayo a little early here.
Well, not for us because Cinco de Mayo is this coming Sunday. So Unless you want me to wait for Who Charted. But as far as Who Charted, we have reached it.
Yeah, so we can see the checkpoint up ahead.
Yeah, if you passed it, then you passed it. But if you reach, I should say, we're approaching. There you go.
Yeah.
We're approaching checkpoint cinco on your way to Summer 2024.
That's right. And Summer's coming fat. Like today feels like the first day of Summer in some ways.
Today's hot. In LA. You'll see two different species. You'll see a lizard and a butterfly today.
I just saw not 10 minutes ago, two lizards doing a mating ritual, I think.
Whoa.
They're approaching each other on a tree.
Oh, I thought they were trying to entice you. Did you get aroused?
I was the cuck in the corner. I was watching.
Lizard cuck.
Lizard cuck.
But yeah, it's good to see them back at it. And summer's heating up.
A lot of strange birds, too.
A lot of birds. Are you seeing new ones?
New ones. Someone told me that that this time of year birds come in to this region from like other parts of the country, tropical areas. Yeah,
it's a thing. I walked up into the hills the other day and saw this black and gray bird that I never see. I guess it's like a hill bird, or maybe it's one of these migrating birds.
A hill bird.
It's a hill bird. That doesn't come down into the flatlands.
The hill family. Yeah. Great. No, what I was thinking of getting for up here, and someone, maybe you can write into whocharted@gmail.com if you know where I can get one of these. I thought it would be cool.
I could just text you. It's easier.
Okay. One of those like viewfinders, you know, in like touristy spots.
Yeah.
Where
you
look through them and look over at the view and find the birds.
Well, you'll
run
out
of a cool addition.
What if you run out of quarters?
Well, that's the other thing. I can charge guests for the view.
Right. Yeah, no, that would be awesome, though, to just, like, have one of those, like, turquoise. They paint them turquoise, and you just, like, sit at the edge of the property.
Yeah. Maybe Megan knows where to get one. That's some grift spot.
Oh, yeah, I'll put on an APB for one of those.
Yeah.
She probably, like, would sell it for scrap metal. She's like, sorry, dude. You snooze, you lose.
Yeah.
But summer's coming up. I want to talk, have a summer greatest hits track listing. We could do that later on in the program or in Two Charted. But right now, let's bring in our guest. Here she comes now. You know her from, past episodes of Who Charted and her album, which is heating up. on the satellite radio and all other places. It's called Organism. Please welcome back to the charts the hilarious Lizzie Cooperman.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, Lizzie.
Well, it's my distinct honor to be back. I just remembered last time I was here, we talked about Taft dying in his bathtub.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we took back to history.
We did.
But it's so great to have you back. Of course, you know, you and I have been doing some shows together of recent, and yes. Nobody wants to follow you. Lizzie out there destroying it.
Howard,
joke after joke after joke. This is no BS. I mean, she was at the 2-year anniversary show that I did out in Eagle Rock. Mm. She was at the festival I did last weekend.
You've been doing shows in Eagle Rock? You should let me know.
Oh, yeah. That's where the 2-year anniversary of Microdose was at, the Fable.
Yeah, the Fable.
On Colorado Boulevard.
Colorado. By Tommy's Hamburgers.
Mm.
I got to get the word out. I'll do that. Now that I have your text and stuff, I'll be able to get that out to you. But Lizzie, so great to have you back into the charts. And I can't wait to get some of your takes on Taylor Swift or whatever the hell's waiting for us.
Please.
You have a lot of great pop culture takes in your act.
Mm.
You satirize a lot of the things that pop culture shoves into our faces all the time.
Can I say something crazy, actually, before we get into it? I'm also a poet, much like Taylor Swift. I'm also a poet.
Are you tortured?
And I started writing a poem the other day based on a title or based on a phrase from an article. I think it was in Us Weekly. Did you know Huey Lewis, who I've become recently kind of re-obsessed with since Greatest Night in Pop?
So you were obsessed with him before?
Well, no, actually, thank you. Thank you for correcting that glaring error in what I just said. No,
new obsession. Yeah.
Yes, a new obsession. He reinstilled the power of love that I feel for him.
Wow.
But I didn't know that he had lost his hearing.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. I heard that recently too.
Wow. And because I was thinking about him, because I loved in Greatest Night in Pop how he said that Prince was supposed to sing the part that he ended up singing. Like Prince pulled a no-show due to social anxiety or whatever excuse he gave. Could have been Michael related. I wasn't there. I wasn't at A&M Studios or whatever it's called. Eminem. I wasn't at the Eminem Factory where this was recorded. But I loved when he in that movie said, from the minute they told me I was singing Prince's line, my knees would not stop shaking.
Yeah.
Then I started reading about him that he lost his hearing. And in an article, one of the sentences was, Huey Lewis heard a roar that no one else heard.
Why? And then he went deaf?
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? That what was the roar? A motorcycle?
It was Katy Perry's roar.
Do you guys understand what the roar is? Maybe I'm taking it too literally.
It was something in inner
inside.
Ear.
Sounds like that's what he's hearing that no one else is hearing.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's got a distorted cackle in there, like LimeWire.
Yeah.
Corrupted file.
That's scary stuff. File.
But I just loved that. I thought that was so poetic that Huey Lewis heard a roar that no one else could hear. It sounded
And that's why his music sounded like it did, because he couldn't hear.
No, Howard. This was a more recent development.
Wow, we got a news hater over here.
I actually, I don't know how deep of a dive you did on Huey, but I actually started listening to some of the albums that came after the big one. Yeah.
Sports was the big one, which is the classic album name.
Yeah,
or just like dad rock. Yeah,
exactly. Sports section. Sports. You love it. But I don't remember exactly what was going on. I think it was good, though. I think it was good.
I bet it was.
Are you familiar with all the albums, or are you just kind of getting into the?
No, and I would say in general, I'm just kind of a greatest hits.
Gotcha.
Unless I choose to do a deep dive, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's always more, the most interesting is their culturally relevant stuff, you know? Mm. It's hard to go listen to like ZZ Top's albums from like 2010, you know? It's just like,
well, yeah, and that's kind of the thing with Taylor Swift too. It's like, so I have to like 31 of these.
Yeah, 31.
Extremely similar ballads.
Yeah. Right.
Why well, let's get into it.
Down? Yeah, let's do
let's
that.
Let's get into the music.
We only got five, thankfully.
Shall we?
Before we do that, I will wrap the history of recorded music. Mm. Let's hear that. Music. We used to play LPs, 8-tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next, ChatGPT? Tunes. I said it wrong, right?
Yeah. I think that's better because that's what is next.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's the new mutation, the ChatGPT. Well, yeah, hopefully we'll get a chart that's not completely filled with Taylor, but if that's the way it goes, that's the way it goes.
Well, good news and bad news. It goes that way, but it's not completely, it's not completely Taylor.
Okay. So
we have some breaks, but okay. This is the top five in the USA on Spotify right now. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is Hozier, Too Sweet.
I caught me back in my bed at three. You're too sweet for me. You're too sweet for me. I take my whiskey and eat. My coffee black in my bed at three. You're too sweet for me.
Got any Hozier takes over there, Lizzie?
Well, he sounds like he's got a medical condition. He's got to stay away from the sweets.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
relatable.
Diabetic.
He's got some tingling in the feet.
Yeah, he's got rickets.
Yes, rickets. I think it's just fine.
Yeah, it's just fine.
Yeah. I mean,
it sounds almost like lyrically. It sounds more like a country song or something than his last, the last we heard. Like, you know, it's just sort of wordplay, like a funny little play on words. You know what wordplay is.
I'll tell you what, I bet the Swifties are pissed that that's taken up spot five. That's better than 26 songs on Taylor's album.
That sounds like compared to the Taylor Swift stuff, that sounds like death metal or something.
Yeah, that's like know, heavily
in terms of energy.
Like actual, yeah.
It is kind of crazy how did he break through, I wonder.
Yeah, last week it was literally like all 1 through 31 Taylor Swift at the top of this
embargo.
Chart. So, it's being filtered out by the public pretty fast.
Interesting.
They're digesting it quickly. It's empty calories.
All right, coming in at number four.
Number four.
Speak of the devil, Taylor Swift. I can do it with a broken heart.
I can handle my shit. They said, babe, you gotta fake it till you make it. And I did. Lights, camera, bitch, smile. Even when you wanna die. He said he loved me all his life. But that life was too short. Breaking down, I hit the floor. All the pieces of me shattered as the crowd was chanting more.
I'm so depressed right when it gets happy. I'm so depressed.
Wait, what is that lyric? I'm so depressed to act like it's my birthday, meaning she doesn't want to age or
oh, yeah.
what is that referring to?
I don't know.
every day. I'm so upset. Let's see. I'm so depressed. I act like it's my birthday every day. I'm so obsessed with him, but he avoids me like the plague. I cry a lot, but I am so productive. It's an art.
Yeah, poor Taylor Swift. That's confusing. But she's saying she's upset, so maybe we just have to go, wow, she's upset. It doesn't really make any sense.
She's saying, she's like, crying. While she's on top of the world doing the Eras tour, she's crying inside, tears of a clown.
That's kind of interesting. I really feel like her music that's not about being in a relationship is better.
Yeah.
Welcome totally to New agree. York. Didn't she sing that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's kind of, you know, I feel like that has some weight to it.
Right.
Yeah, like when you arrive in New York and you're confronted with this big city.
Right.
She didn't write a song, F you, New York, I'm breaking up with you.
I totally agree with you.
City. Or the karma thing.
Yeah, karma. Karma.
You know, it's
kind
of funny because she has that song called Thank You, Amy. Do you know about this?
No.
So she has a song called Thank You, Amy, that's all lowercase except the K in thank. And then Amy is spelled A-I-M-E-E.
Right.
The I and the M. So it's the K, I, and M are capitalized. So that's one of those Easter eggs. It's all about
Kim Kardashian, right? That's what they're saying.
It's about her beef.
Yeah.
Oh, what was her beef with Kim? That she backed Kanye against her?
That I did go on kind of a deep dive as I attempted to kind of get to the bottom of what all of this is.
I think we're outing you as a full-on Swiftie right now.
You're Swift curious.
There you go.
Well,
Swift curious.
I will. Okay, so I guess that Kanye said something about in a song like, and I know I'm gonna, you know, F her someday, or I still think I'm gonna have sex with her or something.
Oh yeah.
And I think he called her the B word, you know?
Right.
But the beef with Kim is that she didn't, that she let Kanye run rampant and say whatever he wanted.
It was that oh my God, I can't believe this is even swirling around. Fragments of this are even swirling around in my brain. I think it was that he asked Taylor for permission to say some of that, but not all of it. And then Kim was like, get over yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We already talked to you about this. Why are you complaining now or something?
But in
the song, Taylor's like, I was screaming. Blood was gushing from the sky. The lyrics of this song
so dramatic.
So like Kim Kardashian is this huge, you know, super villain and like a swirling storm in the sky. And Taylor like drops to her knees. She can't even behold this vitriolic, you know, gushing wave of blood. And
she's so wounded.
She's
going to bleed out.
So I went to Kim Kardashian's. And said, you know what? I did do a deep dive on this, although I have not listened.
I like this. We need to know all this.
But I went to Kim Kardashian's Instagram and I was like, I bet she just basically sicked wild dogs on her.
Oh, yeah.
On
oh,
Kim
my
Kardashian.
God, yeah.
I mean, the minute
it's full on. Lord of the Rings style, like army descending.
You need a wall of men, like in Game of Thrones.
Right.
Outside their house in Brentwood.
Yeah.
So I go to Kim Kardashian's Instagram. She posts a picture. She's just like, you know, classic Kim trench coat with maybe like a leather bra underneath, smoldering look. Everyone's like, thank you, Amy. Thank you, Amy. All the comments are just Swifties.
And what do you think the Amy thing is? Why does she say Amy?
You know, she's just giving her an alias, so you know, as to protect the innocent whose name, like, she also capitalized.
Right, like Becky with the good hair type of thing.
Right.
Exactly. But maybe a little more obvious. Much more, I'd say. But, you know, who doesn't love a word find? What adult? I was talking to a friend of mine who will remain nameless because I bet she doesn't want those Swifties coming after her. She was like, she's 34. Burying a name in capital letters.
Yes, it's.
I mean, it is kind of a little juvenile, I'll say.
A little.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
At all. Even the stuff where she's saying, I mean, like, I totally agree with you that the songs that are not about relationships seem a lot more interesting, but she's seemingly decided
that's
her whole thing. She's decided is to do that. But like when she, I feel like all of her songs are always just like, you told me that you loved me. And then now look, like,
yeah,
you don't anymore. Realize? You lied to me. It all sounds like how a 12-year-old goes through their first glimpse of a relationship where it's just like, you promised me we would be together.
Yeah, you know, like you thought he was Prince Charming, but it turns out he's a jerk. He's a fraud.
Yeah, but and then feeling like that is just unacceptable behavior, you know, right, except just like
can I now express breakup. Some of her merits?
Yeah.
Well, actually,
Keep going. Cause,
yeah, okay, we'll keep going.
Yeah, I have a feeling she'll come back around.
Okay.
Coming in at number three.
Time.
Number three.
Shaboozy with a bar song, parentheses, tipsy. We got whistle. We got acoustic.
My baby born a Birkin. She's been telling me all night long. Gasoline and groceries, the list goes on and on. It's 9 to 5, ain't working. Why the hell do I work so hard? I can't worry about my problems. I can't take them when I'm gone. One, here comes the two, to the three, to the four. Tell them bring another round. We need plenty more. Stepping on the table.
How's this beating Taylor Swift? I don't get it.
Oh my. Good Lord. Someone pull me up a double shot of whiskey.
Is this counter programming? Someone's like, we could put this on and
this is a country chart. I haven't heard of Shaboozy before, but
he's always on the country chart, you know, making some like attempt like that. I'm surprised that one got so high.
It's part of this new wave of like cool black country artists.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking it over.
Mm.
That sounded pretty traditional new country to me, though. It wasn't like.
Yeah, they're just, you know, that's why I'm surprised. Like, there's nothing really that hooky or different about it. It didn't sound like Old Town Road or something. Like, I don't understand, but it's in there. Be
you
a
know,
plot.
Our that it sounded to me a little bit like that sort of porch stomping old Lumineers stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I'm wondering because you know, a theory we've floated on the charts before is like country is perpetually like 20 years behind the trends that happen in like pop music. I wonder if they're just starting to hear like Lumineers, you know, hey ho music, where you're like. Everyone's stomping, clapping.
Yeah, they're just discovering it now and weaving it in.
Mm-hmm. All right, coming in number two.
Number two.
Taylor Swift and Post Malone with Fortnite.
This is about Travis Kelce playing video games instead of banging her.
I want to kill.
All right, you were going to talk about the positive sides.
No, oh, yeah, give us
found
the positives.
In your research.
Oh, well, what I was going to say is she has an album called 1989.
Oh, sure, yeah.
With some songs that weirdly, so at the time I had Lyme disease really bad. When I was listening to that album, I had to drive really far to see this doctor.
I got to see something positive about Taylor Swift. Well, her song sounded good.
She sounds pretty good when you have Lyme disease.
Well, which can affect the hearing. But there was just a contestant on The Bachelorette, actually, who was half deaf from Lyme disease. But anyway.
Oh, really? Huey Lewis?
No. He might have it. Some people don't know they have it. So
that's true.
But I was driving and I was like, wow, I was listening to 1989 and I thought all these songs could be about Lyme disease. Out of the Woods.
Whoa, Ticks. Yeah.
Are we out of the woods? Are we out of the woods?
Yeah.
Now we've got Bad Blood.
Whoa.
Bad Blood.
Wow.
Yeah. Welcome to New York. That's upstate New York is home to Lyme disease.
That's true.
How about Shake It Off? Isn't that on there?
Shake It Off. Wow. Shake it off with a tweezer. Wow. This is like the Paul McCartney is dead stuff.
Yeah.
This could all be about the woods.
But I did feel like there was kind of a power to those songs. It's like, yeah. I don't want to just go, oh, this whole thing. For example, I think this Fortnite song is better than the one we heard earlier, that I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. Mm-hmm. I think it sounds
a little different than just an organ going and her just kind of freestyle.
Talk, singing.
Yapping. Yeah. I feel like she's, go ahead.
Well, I just feel like there's so much more to sing about. And I don't know. I haven't listened to the Thank You, Amy song. Maybe that one's good. I know the Bad Blood one was about her kind of rift with Katy Perry.
Mm.
And so maybe she's good at writing. You know, she's drawn to writing about, you know, everyone's got their vein of gold.
It's just catnip at this point for her fans, I think. Like, it just feels like it's crossed into a cynical territory where she's just like,
I agree.
I think if she was details.
A grounded person would feel guilty at this point. Like, all I have to do is turn on the organ and then just go, he said this and oh my God. And like, you would think she'd be like Paul McCartney might hear this. Like, fans will like it, but like, what about real people?
Right. You know? This is time to bring in the sitars and stuff. Like, if she was the Beatles.
Yeah. Go somewhere.
Yeah.
Take a week off.
I was thinking, would I ever include this song on a playlist? And I can't find one on this album that I'd go get like excited if it came on, you know?
I can't think of, why would anyone need one of these songs?
What I agree with.
You're not already doing.
I do feel like you're right saying 1989 felt like the high point for me. Hmm. Like that felt like one that actually had hits that felt like they should be hits. Hmm.
Yeah, yes. The ones that had the blank space and then the sadomasochism one with Are You Ready For It?
Duh, oh, yeah.
Those were the best ones. Yeah. Then she just got with this Jack Antonoff guy and they do five songs before lunch, five songs after lunch. You know, get a coffee, do 10 more tracks.
It almost sounds like a verb. We were really Antonoff in there, weren't we?
Yeah.
we're just making too much stuff, and it all sounded similar.
You also, the listeners really missed your hand gesture as you said that.
Yeah. I did do that jerk-off.
Yeah, it's just Antonoff
in there.
They're just Antonoff all day.
Oh, that's really good. That should be a slang term trademark at this point. All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
Who beat Taylor Swift in the charts? This is Sabrina Carpenter.
What?
Espresso.
Whoa.
Wow.
What chart was this?
This is the top, this is the poppiest of pop charts. This is the top Spotify.
Wow.
This reminds me of the NBA playoffs right now. We're quickly, this year is the most fast, like, changing of the guards, where all the big veterans and these super teams with the older guard, they're all getting demolished by these young guys.
Yeah.
And, these young artists. Taylor Swift better watch out at 34.
She lost the 5 spot and the 1 spot and the 3 spot. My God.
Oh, my God. She should have made one 31-hour-long song or something. Or one song that's just continuous. Like, I think there was like a DVD, a David Lynch DVD, where he said, I'm not separating this movie into chapters. It's meant to be watched as a whole.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was just one chapter. Maybe she should should have said
this last one, this poet's one.
It's all one song.
That would have been a pretty badass move, really, to just make it all one song. At least or you can Fortnite claim it's like a radical thing.
Fortnite is 2 weeks, so maybe the album lasts one song that lasts 2 weeks.
Last 2 weeks. There would probably be a million people out there who really gave it 2 weeks.
Yeah, there would be. There would. I think this espresso song, I don't know. It's not waking me up as espresso should.
Yeah. Where's the
it sounds a lot there? Like a Doja Cat or one
yeah,
of those.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I think I just like high drama. I like a song that opens with high drama.
Mm.
Typically. I don't like it to feel like a wave gently.
Like when Huey Lewis shoves his head in the sink, he needs a new drug. That thing just, it was popping. Boom. Cold water to the face. I have nothing against Huey Lewis except that, I don't know, Jimmy Kimmel's like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel loves, it's like his favorite artist.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like had him on even when he doesn't have an album out.
I love that. I actually, did you watch the great, have you talked about that documentary on the podcast, Greatest Night in Pop?
No, we haven't seen it. It's about We Are the World, right?
You guys.
The making of We Are the World, which sounds fascinating.
So funny because Lionel Richie, they wanted him to write it with Stevie Wonder, but no one had cell phones. So they like left a message on Stevie Wonder's answering machine. He just never got back to them.
Yeah.
It took like 3 weeks. So then they go, okay, go write it with Michael Jackson. So he goes to Michael's house and I thought it was so funny. Lionel Richie goes, I get to Michael's house and it occurs to me, we've never really hung out before.
It's like
all these noises. And it turns out it's like a monkey fighting with a dog in the kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Bubbles and then out of nowhere. What?
Bubbles was fighting the dog.
Yeah.
So it kind of starts like that, but then it all happens so quickly that all these people say yes, that they're like, we need the song like right now. And so when they finally go to kind of lay down the tracks, so they can send it out to the artist. Then Stevie Wonder shows up at the studio and he's like, we're going to write this thing? Like, Stevie, it's written.
Buddy. Yeah.
But there are so many great moments, including like Bob Dylan kind of freezes at the microphone because he's like, this isn't really what I do. And they said, well, Stevie Wonder can kind of ventriloquize anybody. And so he brings Bob Dylan over to the piano and he sings Bob Dylan's part as Bob Dylan. So that Bob knows
how
to
feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gotta watch it. I've watched like YouTube behind the scenes videos of that for years. It feels like there's just so many great, like, nuggets from that recording session. It's bizarre. And speaking of Huey Lewis, one of my favorite like random parts of that whole thing, because it's all just so star-studded, like the people, like the whole news is there, like the band The News just happens to be part of that like top 40 crowd where you're like, how did these guys all get in? Like the most VIP list of all, you know,
because some of the people, like the woman who sang Betty Davis Eyes, Kim Carnes or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, she kind of just reminds me of like if Tan Mom was inserted into her voice is like,
yeah,
she's like, she's
so weather beaten. Yeah. I heard some story where it was
Tam, much respect.
It's like Springsteen was hanging in the back because it was closer to where the sandwiches and stuff were.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's why he was in the back.
But then Bette Midler, like someone like Bette Midler, I don't think her big stuff, her like from a distance and all that had come out yet. So she was just in the choir. So like, okay, I feel like someone named like Kim would have been Bette instead. Had a little time pass.
Right.
That's been my criticism of it over the years as well.
I really do think of it as like, I read someone else say this, so I can't take full credit, but that it was like, We Are the World was kind of the beginning of cringe in a way.
Mm.
Like it was one of the first sort of like, I mean, you could call it a massive pop hit, But it also was sort of the beginning of that sort of boomer entering the 80s, sort of like a misstep where it got really corny at that level.
Right.
It's also like celebrity moralizing, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that whole thing, which is sort of carried over into now. But I can't think of that many examples like before that of just sort of that feeling of like all those luminaries doing something cheesy.
You know, DJ Doug Pound, Doug Lucenhoff.
Yeah, of course.
Like those people, he goes, their personalities are so big. They're like cartoon characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're huge.
Like, people used to be so much more exaggerated in a way rather than all trying to be like, I have money. By the way, I would love for Taylor Swift to do a song about how rich she is.
Right.
Everyone else.
Her carbon footprint from her private jet.
Wait, I have to show you guys since we're on this subject. This is my favorite rendition of We Are the World I think I've ever seen. And it's just one of the funniest videos on YouTube. This is the Japanese We Are the World. Just watch this. It's so good. When they all start coming out. Just wait for Bruce Springsteen to come out.
I didn't know the first guy was doing English.
There's Tina.
That's Billy.
Here he comes. Here he comes. There's the Stevie. they're like in blackface, which is horrible.
My lord. That looks like Corey Feldman.
Oh no, there's the Michael Jackson.
Huey. That's Huey.
That was? Cindy.
Cindy and then Kim.
It's a pretty good Cindy Lauper. This,
you know what? That woman could have been Kenny Rogers because she's wearing the sweatshirt.
Oh.
Remember, Kenny was one of the only people who actually wore the USA for Africa sweatshirt.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay. It's company man.
I thought it was Diana Ross.
And then what about, who's the guy who walked out because Stevie Wonder wanted to sing in Swahili?
I heard about this, that Stevie Wonder wanted to write a part.
Who is the guy who walked out? He's like, he was a country singer. Was it Waylon Jennings or?
Oh, or no. Maybe.
Wait, sorry.
We got to see this.
I don't want to. It was, he goes, ain't no country boy again.
Wasn't Charlie Daniels.
Waylon Jennings. Left USA for Africa project due to his refusal to sing in Swahili.
You know what's funny is like back then that was probably the wrong move, but right. Now looking back that was the exact right move. You know, like none of them should have. Wasn't it just sort of like make believe Swahili? Like,
well, yeah, like, Stevie was like, so, we should do a line of this song in Swahili. And everyone's like, okay, imagine though being the producer, like, guys, we've got to stay on schedule.
Yeah.
We can't teach Swahili. It was already, they gathered really late at night after like the AMAs, which Lionel was hosting.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't even the right language to use for like the region they were talking about.
Right. That they were like, they don't even speak this.
Right. So Waylon Jennings, he was the woke one in that sense.
Yeah. Also, he needed to meet his Coke dealer, probably.
Right. And then there's one guy who was drunk, and they're like, he kept getting more and more wine and kind of messing it up. I loved it. I watched the documentary twice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right on.
Gotta catch up.
So good.
Yeah, I tried to watch Garth Brooks' This Old Bar. He's got some thing where he's like start opening a bar in Nashville.
Really?
Yeah, it was just, I tried to watch 5 minutes of it and I couldn't because he's like, it was just all set up and fake. And he's going, I want this bar to be like America itself, where people come to have a good time, but then you know that someone's got your back if something goes down.
Like, oh my God. Remember his video that he did a video on Facebook or something where he was like, look, I heard this is a place to connect. And I love connection.
Yeah, when he was getting on social media, yeah. They tell me I got to do this, okay.
But there's also a song, a country song called I Love This Bar.
Uh-huh.
Is that Garth Brooks or is that, maybe that's Toby Keith?
Yeah, it could be any one of them.
Oh, okay.
Could be.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
Oh, that's Toby
Keith. Quite a few of those.
That's Toby Keith.
Like, I wish Taylor would sing a song like that. I love this bar.
Yeah, that's on Toby Keith's album Shockin' Y'all.
Shockin' Y'all.
Shockin' Y'all.
Okay.
The pro.
It'd be funny though. Bush Taylor's album. Song would be like, "I gave you a 10. I asked you to split it. You said you only had a 5." Like she would still get betrayed in that situation.
Of course. Right. Yeah.
And now there's a line for the ladies' room.
I've been in this line for 3 days.
You told me to come here. You said you'd be waiting.
You cut me off. My vodka tonics. How could you? All right.
We'll see her again next week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But that was the music chart. And we'll be right back with the movies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
My name is H. Michael Cray, and I'm here with our guests, Lizzie Cooperman and
Brett Morris.
And this is the Movie Chart. Movies, they used to be too silent. Nowadays, they're too loud and violent. For most of them, I am not a client. People on the big screen are friggin' giant. Movies. These are the movie chart. We'll see what's bringing people back in to the theaters.
Coming in at number 5.
Number 5.
Abigail.
Ooh, that has an I and an L in it. What's Taylor trying to say?
It has AI in it. Maybe she's coming out against AI.
You all came highly recommended. You know the rules. No real names, no backstories, no cell phones.
So whose kid is she?
A very wealthy man who's about to be $50 million poorer.
I'm here to make sure you're safe.
What's your name? Mine's Abigail.
You can call me Jane.
A group of would-be criminals kidnap the 12-year-old ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure.
Ooh, it's hard to root for them. They've kidnapped a child. Hard to get behind this one.
All they have to do is collect a $50 million ransom and watch the girl overnight.
Oh. That doesn't sound so bad.
I kind of had kind of a Batman feeling to it in the beginning with the chauffeur kind of closing the door. I felt like she was, you know, something kind of harrowing there.
Perhaps she'll lose her parents and become a superhero in the third act.
She'll go by Abby.
Abby.
That's the big plot twist.
Is this like a glass onion type of mystery thing, or it's just...
I think she turns out to be the evil one.
Abigail does? Okay. Mm-hmm. That would make sense. Evil young girls, exorcist type of a thing.
Wasn't there one called Megan last year?
Yeah, Megan. Yeah. That was good.
Mm.
Has Taylor Swift done acting yet? Has she crossed over?
She was in the Cats movie.
Oh, that's right.
She mostly
really did
song, though. Yeah.
Someone married an actress from that who was like, I saw Cats and I fell in love with the cat and married her. No, like a famous actor.
Oh my God.
Wait.
All right. Okay. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
This is Civil War.
We don't need. Did they use the GNR song?
They didn't, and they really should have.
They should have.
It is American. 100%. That's what I'm talking about.
Cool.
It's a good movie. I saw it.
You know, let me ask you this. Do you remember what time of year the movie took place?
Oh, I don't, but I don't remember a lot of rain or winter effects.
Well, the reason I ask is because if there was a civil war, that would mean that it interrupted one of the major sports leagues. And that's why I think there won't be a civil war, because the business and the sports and all that is just more important to people than the beefs. When it all is said, when it all comes down to it.
Wow.
You really think sports is what's standing in the way?
Well, I mean, it's like the Roman games or whatever. It's just like, it keeps people so distracted. And then you've got the betting and you've got the corporations behind it. So it's not even just like, hey, let's go over to Kentucky with our muskets and get rid of those Kentuckians. You know, it's just like, it's all so dug in and entrenched. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it'd be tough to get going.
So Tom Selleck saw Cats 8 times just to meet his now wife.
Tom Jillie Selleck?
Mack. He fell in love with a cat. Yeah.
Wow.
A woman is like
that's crazy. Like specifically her as the cat.
Yeah.
Do you think he was disappointed when they met like in real life?
I heard he makes her shit in a box.
Shits in box.
He's like, let's keep this fantasy going.
I used to do a joke. My cat has an Indian name. Shits in box. Hey, maybe that's why there won't be a civil war right there. It's because it's about cats and seeing it 8 times and falling and going to the theater and musicals and sports. I can't see. A whole group getting a whole
like
army.
Like uprooting all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Complacent.
I mean, even T-Swift, like T-Swift is planning a new tour. Oh, well, if we Civil War, she's not coming.
Right. Like, because of her boyfriend, right?
They're the biggest group there is.
I know, but I'm not sure that they would be on the front lines of any kind of civil war anyway.
I take back everything I said about thank you, Amy. I take it back.
Yeah,
I haven't listened to it. I don't know. Could be a hit.
All right, coming in.
Have an army fight Taylor's army.
Coming in at number three.
Number three.
Godzilla and Kong. The New Empire.
That sounded like. Whoa.
Is that a mini Kong?
Oh my God. Oh.
That's not just a signal.
We're already doing Kong's kid? That was the dumbest part of King Kong, was his kid. We're already got his kid back?
Wait.
Oh, just let it be adult. Okay. I was saying this before it was even King Kong. I'm tired of these movies where you got to worry about a kid the whole time. You know what I mean? Like you were saying, Taylor shouldn't always sing about these broken romances.
Yeah.
Movies don't always have to be about, oh, the kid's over there.
Yeah.
You got to make sure the kid's okay.
Is the kid's name Kid Kong?
Should be. Or Prince Kong. Because it's King Kong.
Oh, yeah. Because King.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Even in like video games, I feel like they've started to lean on that a lot where like the motivation behind both like the hero and the villain is always like sometimes the super villain will be, they try to spin it as like, oh, well, he just really cares about his kid so much. He's willing to do anything for his kid.
Right, right.
And it's just like too much.
Like, too much. Just say he's an asshole or.
Right.
Yeah. Write something else.
Like they really get so much pathos out of just like a father and his daughter.
I'm getting kind of a Jar Jar.
Star Wars. It's done. It's been done.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm seeing a little Jar Jar Binks energy around the kid, the baby Kong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't look very convincing.
Yeah.
No. Like, the CGI is so bad too on all these.
It looks like how Muppets don't have lips kind of.
Yeah. Arr.
Okay. coming in at number two.
Number two.
Okay.
Unsung hero. What's this one? Based on a remarkable true story, Unsung Hero follows David Smallbone, unfortunate name, as he moves his family from down under to the States, searching for a brighter future after successful music company collapses.
How can we say goodbye to everything that we
this
know?
This is a
love?
True story?
It's a remarkable true story.
Does he apparently become a
look, musician? this is a Christian thing. Jesus Revolution. Says from the studio behind Jesus.
Well, now I have to see it.
Yeah. So these Christian pieces make it on the charts these days.
That's interesting. That's like, do you know that TV show Virgin River on Netflix?
Mm-mm.
It could best be described as cabin core.
Oh, yeah.
All the characters wear flannels. All the good guys were in the military.
Yeah.
And, but it's like a popular show, but it feels like it's, also, like the sex scenes, she takes off her shirt. She's wearing a bra with a lot of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's like old people show.
I don't. I think it's
like Heartland.
Like,
it's like Christian it's like fantasy.
You know what? Though it's something you can watch with your family without being like, "Oh, this is so uncomfortable." You know.
Right. And you're saying this looks like that one?
It kind of has a similar vibe a little bit.
Carhartt, Jesus-y, Missouri type of stuff.
Right. Who knows?
I feel like they never really capture that entire genre. I'll even see like memes about it, like right-wing memes and stuff where it's just like, this could be us. And it's always like a rural, like white family where the dad has this like chiseled jaw and is like this like hot, traditional wife and stuff. And I was just like, I don't know if that exists sort of anywhere. Like if you go to like a lot of rural places.
Yeah, that's the
not exactly
that's
looking
the,
like
the archetype that's sold to us as the ideal.
Mm. Right.
This is what it's like. If you would just get your shit together, you'd be like these people. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I feel like in the South, there must be cities that are so kind of isolated that that's closer to their reality, you know?
It's just like it's how they see themselves, I guess.
Right. But,
it's also a corporate product, you know? It's like something that they could sell to every family, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's like Christmas. It's like selling Christmas or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big
the reality is just sort of like KFC and Taco Bell and the gas station.
We haven't seen it though yet. We've got to get into it. Does she go on American Idol or is she goes on a reality show.
Yeah, that's what I would get is, do they become successful? Yeah. What is the true story it ties into?
It might be better than we're giving it credit for.
If they're like, it's based on a true story about this Australian who came to America. What? That's allowed? I mean, there must be something like, yeah.
I'm sure they did. They discovered their faith. All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
Challengers. I heard this was really good.
This Friday, one of the sexiest movies ever made.
Whoa, this has the trailer voice again.
Want me to come tuck you in?
Critics are calling Challengers fierce, electrifying, and deliriously enjoyable.
It's back. So, why did they get rid of it?
I was just talking about this with someone that, like, you know, we all know the like, in a world, you know, trailer voice stereotype. But I feel like we haven't actually heard that in trailers for a long time now. Like, the new style of trailers just...
Maybe someone decided that's why the movies are down. We got to get that trailer voice back.
I kind of like hearing it again.
Yeah.
What's this one about? I heard it was
good. She's a professional tennis player who hurts her knee, I believe, on the court and becomes a coach.
Okay.
Well, if I pitched it, they wouldn't have bought it. I'll tell you that. It must have something.
But it was a stand-up comedian who loses their microphone.
Yeah, stand-up comedian.
Find their microphone.
Can't find their mic. Does it have Zendaya? Yeah. Okay, we'll make it.
Yeah. Says Tashi, a tennis player turned coach, has transformed her husband from a mediocre player into a world famous Grand Slam champion.
Wow. Ooh, I know what this is. In King Richard, it was a guy making the girls better at tennis.
Oh.
And now in this, it's the girl making the guy better.
The tables have turned.
I think maybe it has some turns where it's like not so much about tennis. As you think it is. That's the sense.
It's actually about pickleball.
Yeah, you're right. 97% Rotten Tomatoes.
The guy she's coaching.
It's a movie where
69.
Someone has been playing with the.
Trezner does the soundtrack.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Comes hard.
Oh my
Must
God.
Must be a lot of slams in the pickleball. Well, that's number one. I'm interested in that one. See what that one's about. It looks a little different than the other fair. And that was the movie charts. And we'll be right back with the hot picks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks. The third chart is the hot picks and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick and let's see who did not. The hot picks. The hot picks. These are the hot picks. We'll see if we did better than that first chart. Chances are we did. Let's find out.
Coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is my first pick. This is David Gilmour.
Whoa.
He's got some new music coming out. This is The Piper's Call. I'll go somewhere in the middle because it probably has like 3 minutes of build up.
A fixer who'd have known your pain and strangeness. The wheels are hot, the hangover outrageous. This dealer, he will trade.
His voice is in good shape.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is one of those albums where he's teamed up with like a young producer.
Okay.
Who doesn't have that much like reverence for Pink Floyd and all that. Cause I've seen some interviews where David Gilmour was saying like, this young guy just comes in and goes like, do we really need a guitar solo right there? And David Gilmour liked that because he's never had a producer be like, what? Like, he's just like, this is kind of my thing.
The guy must have never heard of him before.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, sometimes old guys like that like hearing that. They're like, yeah. Oh, this kid's got some spunk.
I think it's necessary.
Yeah. So I'm interested in what he does on this album.
Right on. I hope there's no hip-hop breaks or Linkin Park-y type stuff.
Yeah. The P. Diddy collaboration.
Yeah.
All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Here's another new one from that generation. This is Howard's pick. This is Ringo Starr, who's also, I think he's working with Linda Perry on this new album He just came out with Crooked Boy.
Come on down now, all my friends. All these years I've been reminded. The celebrations and the laughs, the losses we've all had, keep me younger than before. I've seen the world and twice again.
It's a little Octopus's Garden in there.
Yeah.
All the beauty that surrounds us.
I said, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
It's what I believe and what I keep on fighting. I hope these aren't just memories I borrow. Pieces from a less ordinary day.
Good old Ringo.
His voice sounds pretty good too.
It does.
He is. He's always doing Paul McCartney will just put out a song about anything. Ringo's songs are always like, well, I'm from Liverpool.
Yes, always.
Long time.
It's always the song about himself, about his age or whatever.
About the Beatles journey.
Like, you know me from playing drums.
Someone asked me what my favorite Beatle was, so I really looked into it. And I was like, well, Paul McCartney's are so depressing. Like, Eleanor Rigby. He's singing about people in hospice care. He just always is.
That's an amazing take because I've never heard anyone claim that Paul is the depressing
the
one.
Sad one.
Yeah. I always think of him as
gently weeps. Maybe.
Yeah. George. Did he write that one too?
No, that's George.
Oh, that's George.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It's
funny. I always think of Paul as the like silly love songs guy.
Yeah. No, it's like, didn't he write look yesterday? At all the lonely
he did,
people.
That's kind of the same, too. He's always talking about yesteryear. Humility. What happened yesterday? The past.
You're going to have Swifties and the Beatles, Beatlemaniacs coming after you.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Oh, my God. I like George. I think I'm a George.
You're a George gal?
I think so.
Yeah, so this new Ringo Starr album is all Linda Perry and him, which is an interesting collaboration. If you were Linda Perry, if you were a songwriter, your whole thing is like professional songwriter to the stars, like a Linda Perry, and your next project is Ringo Starr. Are you giving him your top tier songs, or are you, you giving him like, you know, you must be filtering out a little bit.
It probably like
you want to be respectful to Ringo and his legacy, but also like, are you really going to give him
right? How much do you need to shine in the writer's room?
Like, is anyone going to hear this besides me and Ringo?
Oh my God. Linda Perry, any relationship to Stephen Perry of Journey?
No relationship. Okay. Linda Perry was Four Non Blondes. She did What's Going On.
Oh, right.
And she's done a lot of
no relationship to the Refrigerator Perry.
Refrigerator Perry.
From the Bears? No.
From the Bears.
But if she's writing with Ringo, like her schedule must have cleared up quite a bit in the last few years. I mean, she's usually with the like people who are about to have a big hit.
Totally.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember her doing like Christina Aguilera and stuff. Who knows? But she's like a rock. She's a rocker herself. Maybe she's honored to be with Ringo.
Yeah, there she is.
I saw her at a farmer's market once in Larchmont.
Was she putting peaches in her hat?
Yeah. She was carrying a gourd, a large gourd.
She was
gourd
smuggling
on her
a gourd.
She has a scale inside her top hat and she just weighs the fruit up there.
Oh my God. Four Non Blondes. That song Joey is so good. You know that?
Ooh. Yeah.
That's
deep
not
cut
her.
Four Non?
That's not. Who is
it's
that?
Not her?
Wait, Joey, baby.
Oh, that's Concrete Blonde.
Yeah, that's Concrete Blonde. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so. I should be so ashamed of myself.
Well,
this way, everyone
myself.
Will be like, "Don't trust her opinion," and then they won't come after me.
Oh yeah.
Joey.
I haven't heard this song in a long time. It sounds like Four Non Blondes.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
The singer sounds like her. Maybe it is her.
This is good. Very cool.
They have another song called Ghost of a Texas Ladies Man, and it's about a ghost at this hotel on 6th Street in Austin.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's actually crazy how much it sounds like that.
I used to go back all the time. I haven't been back in a while now. Mm. I've stopped going back regularly.
Mm-hmm. I can relate.
It's dirty now. It's a dirty hole. Just kidding. It's still nice.
Austin, it's like so nice and Californianized.
It's like San Francisco now. Or
it's still fun. It's still a lot of fun. Mm. I think
it's a great town. It's just not the, it's like what people were afraid of when I moved there, that it would just become this big sprawling metroplex. It has taken.
Right.
A little
bit. They
have
big city problems now. That's like
got it.
Murders and lots of stuff.
Still a fun place. I feel like if you're in Austin, if you're from Austin, you probably feel that like pretty hard. But if you're coming into Austin, you're thinking, wow, this has such good Texas vibes.
Apocalyptic shit all.
Yeah. No, of course not.
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere in the middle. But people know how to have a good time there, I feel like. Like every time I go there, just feels like people are like really out and happy to be out. And there's like cool, the bar scene and stuff has a lot of.
Yeah, people are ready to have fun for sure.
Yeah.
It's a retirement community for 20 somethings.
Oh, Paul McCartney should move there.
He's old.
Yeah, poor sour Paul McCartney.
Cheer up.
This is a pessimist.
Eleanor Rigby. Okay,
so
well, we'll hear about your neighbors dying.
Two sad songs.
John used to keep all the other guys, you know.
Oh, yeah, he used to keep them
pepped
up. Because
Paul brought them down.
All right. Coming in at number three. Lizzie's pick. This is Pitbull and Dolly Parton with Powerful Women. It's funny, the way they write this now is exactly the same as King Kong and Godzilla, where with the X.
Oh, yeah, the X.
They don't say like Pitbull and Dolly Parton.
The collab.
Yeah. Here we go. Alone, I'm a powerful woman. Y'all deserve a throne. Keep your head up and stay strong. I'm a powerful woman. No matter what, never give up. I remember working hard with my mom. You name it, she did it. You name it, she sold it. You name it, she cleaned it. You name it, she owed it. She had to provide. We had to survive. So you name it, she stole it. Our whole life was. Is this his Mother's Day gift to his mom?
Yeah, too much.
Oh, he's got a teacher. You know about his teacher, Miss Rodriguez?
No.
Pitbull has this teacher that was like, you're really good at rapping. Like, I'm going to tell my friends about you. And then the woman knew some, like, big rapper or something.
Oh, shit.
But, yeah, it was
no
like,
way.
She believed in me. This. But you guys.
So he's a Nepo. So he's a Nepo puppy.
Yeah.
He's a teacher's pet.
So this is basically, it's 9 to 5, but then Pitbull raps over the verses.
Good powerful stuff. Women.
How do you
that's
get
just
away
such
with
a pandering
a rap
ass.
That has no creativity. You name it, she sewed it. That is so misogynistic.
She sewed it.
It does seem
so pandering. I remember working
so
hard with my mom. You name it, she did it. You name
sweater.
It, she sewed
she
it. You
sewed
name it.
It,
she cleaned it.
Scarf. She sewed it.
But
you name it, she cleaned it.
Says you name it, she cleaned it. You name it, she owed it. Are they talking about Capital One there? She had to provide. We had to survive. So you name it, she stole it. Our whole life was layaway. Pay, pay, pay.
Oh, he's talking about his mom?
Yeah.
I guess you can't win with me because I'm like, why don't people sing about something else? Then someone sings about their mom. But this sounds like a commercial for women. You're selling women to someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so surface level.
Women.
And that whole thing of like, you're a queen, you deserve a throne.
Yeah, this is
just so tired.
For
it's
people
never,
who call
my
themselves,
mom was irresponsible. Yeah. She couldn't. She
it's never like.
Stopped at two kids.
You're an interesting person.
I was the third one.
Hey, you know who does do that is Eminem, I think. Kind of shits on his mom.
Yeah,
right?
He does.
Oh, I like that.
You know what I was thinking about him the other day? There was a social worker that kind of like backed him up when he like started thinking his mom was crazy and stuff. Like a social worker came in there and was like, yeah, this woman seems paranoid and stuff like that.
Mm.
And I'm just like, I never had that.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I'm like, I just assumed my mom was sane my whole life. That would have been nice to have somebody come in from the
school. Right. Or someone go, you're back good at rapping. Or someone to go, you're good at rapping. We're going to help you out.
Or just go, you don't have to call her mom. Start calling her Debbie. Like she's not doing her job.
Yeah. I do think there's a role for like a certain type of therapist or person like that to come in and actually take some sides every once in a while.
That's
and not just
oversight.
Be like, well, what do you think you're doing to contribute to this? What do you think you're doing? Mm-hmm. Just be like, no, your mom's pretty crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been watching and she seems nuts.
Yeah. Hey, ask her how many parenting books she's read in the last 50 years. Zero.
You're in the ear.
She's winging it. We need some oversight in here.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Eminem, isn't he coming out with a new album that's like Slim Shady again or something?
Yeah, I heard it's back to basics.
Wow. Okay.
I never quite understood like his alter egos or what that really meant.
Oh, like, well, he was kind of rapping more normally. He was just kind of telling his story and stuff. And then Slim Shady became an alter ego where he could say all the sick, you know, venomous, Vin, Vicodin, and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Right.
So what we know as Eminem really is Slim Shady. And then, you know.
And then,
did you say where he can say Vicodin?
Yeah, that's what.
Is that what you said?
That was Howard's example.
There's this one song from his beginning where it's like vile, venomous, Vicodin, guns, knives, sluts, nuns, butts, and he just goes off on this crazy run of just saying all this.
Maybe thinking that could be a response song to Espresso, which we heard earlier.
Yeah.
One takes you up, one brings you down.
No, I'm working on a Kerrig song right now. It's gonna blow the roof off of this thing.
A Keurig song?
Keurig song, yeah.
The coffee pod.
K-cup. It's K-pop, but it's called K-cup is your K-cup. Your nice. Genre.
I love it.
That's really good.
I love it.
I have a huge K-cup following. I hope they sway the election.
All right, coming in at number three.
Number two.
This is my pick. This band is called System Exclusive. And the band is called, the song is called Click.
Whoa. Crazy production.
Yeah. Really cool.
There's something going on in my left ear that it sounds like the speakers. What are they doing in there?
I like this.
Do you know what I'm saying? The placement of that?
You might be hearing something weird.
No, it's good weird. They got a guitar that's way off to the left over
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it's really cool. There's
I
like
love that.
Almost like Nintendo effects over, and her voice is sort of Gwen Stefani-ish.
Yeah, it's got some 8-bit shit
cool.
in there, but the field of it sounded like I had a third speaker like behind me.
Wow.
Did you hear a roar that no one else heard?
Yeah.
What's that? What's that? I can't hear you now. I need a new cochlea.
New plug.
Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Oh, this is Howard's pick. This is from one of the latest critics of Taylor Swift publicly, Pet Shop Boys.
Ooh, what'd they say about her?
Who's the main guy? He said that
who's
she
the
doesn't
pet shop owner.
That she doesn't have any big hits it wasn't that stupid sounding, but it was basically like most people don't even actually, for how big she is, she doesn't have songs that are like universal.
Oh, gotcha.
Which is kind of true, kind of not true. All right, this is Dancing Star.
Amalfi, blue skies, blue sea. It's a long way from Siberia. How did you get here? Jump the barrier at Orly Airport. Clip a little call asylum there.
To go. Sounds like a Madonna beat.
Yeah.
I think they thought that you would never dare.
Maybe it's about Madonna.
It almost is that Madonna song.
I mean, they had sort of that sound too, but yeah.
Wasn't her first hit was Lucky Star?
Yeah, it sounds like Lucky Star.
Oh, interesting.
But not saying, I mean, Pet Shop Boys are amazing. Can't take anything away from them. West End Girls is like one of the coolest songs.
That's a great
one. Of the 80s, mm-hmm. I feel like.
They're just so iconic. I mean, you know exactly who it is when they start, even if it's like a deep cut, like their 50th best track. You're like, oh, that's the Pet Shop Boys.
Right. Yeah. Incredible.
That's cool they're back. Have they been consistently making new stuff, or is this a reunion?
I don't know. Probably, I feel like it has been a while. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But big ups to them.
Big ups.
Still doing it.
Good job, boys.
Good job. they're men. They're pet shop men now.
Pet shop.
Yeah. What is a pet shop boy? Like, that's, is there that many pet shops? Like, oh, that guy's a pet shop boy.
Maybe you got to sweep the pet shop. Sweep the Empty the litter boxes.
You're the junior worker at the pet shop. Hey, if you want to have a good time, pick up Organism, the album from Lizzy Cooperman, with so many of her great classics. Also, Lizzy, you've got some live gigs coming up as well.
I have some live shows coming up. You can see me at The Crow on May 10th.
Where's The Crow?
It's in Santa Monica.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. The Crow.
Yeah, it's a really fun venue. And then on the 11th, you can see me in someone's backyard in Pasadena.
Okay.
And then I have a show also.
Like Van Halen.
And on the 16th of May, you can see me at Lyric Hyperion. I'm doing a show that Nick Vatterott is putting together. And I think it's a non-traditional show that should be interesting.
Interesting. Like what? The audience is on stage? The comics are in the crowd?
I don't know yet. He just told me it's not going to be like a straight stand-up show. There will be some crazy things happening.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know.
Right on. Check that out. Great refreshments and full bar over there at Lyric Hyperion as well. Check that out. You will have a good time if you go see Lizzy. She is bombastic live. She will crack you up for sure. Great material. And we're so happy to have you on again, Lizzy.
Nothing short of a thrill.
Start, how about you?
Yeah, come out and see Comedy Bang Bang this summer. We're going on tour. It's a very extensive one.
Nice.
But yeah, come out, say hi on tour, and check out Destroy All Neighbors. That's the movie I scored that came out earlier this year. I think you can order a Blu-ray soon. There might be some DVD versions of that.
Right on. Excellent to hear. Go see all that. Also, check out some of the content over there on whochartedpod.com. So much of the great content and all the preem streams.
And all of it, really. I mean, we put it all there for one easy price.
And we're about to do a great Two Charted.
That's right.
Some great surprises on there as
well. I got
a
couple things cooked up for this next one.
Absolutely, for sure. And why not check out haveasummer.com, pick up an Austin Stories DVD or a Have a Summer t-shirt. Check out Grift Horse with Megan Beth Keister and Drop Date Duel. And we will see you right here next week on Who Charted?